Assalamu alaikum, guys. We're here in Mostar. I'm with the former nicknamed Gado, but it's Hadis. He's a resident here of Mostar, and he's got an incredible story to share. Family was primarily atheist, communist, and he was just, you know, in a world of confusion. And then we want to find out what happens from there. Where is he at now in his life? Really incredible story.
Yes, yes.
All right, this is Hadis coming up here on the Deen Show. Don't go anywhere. Alright guys, welcome back. Continuing our tour in Bosnia, meeting some wonderful people, and no exception here. We have Hadis. Assalamu alaikum, Hadis.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
May the peace, mercy of the Almighty be upon you and all those watching. Hadis, you came, it's very interesting. You came from, and that's kind of common, right, out here where people, they're like Muslim, but their parents aren't quite practicing Muslims. They're actually atheists, right? From a communist background?
Yeah.
That's the background you came from? Can you fill us in?
Yeah, it comes from that period of a communistic regime, which in a way, you know, making people only concentrating on materialistic things, and annihilating the existence of God. And the most important thing was that what they were proclaiming was that you know, like brotherhood and equality and those things, that they should kind of wipe out the differences between the religion and nationality and so on and so. But in reality, it showed later that mostly Bosniak people, they embraced that kind of philosophy, while the other nations, nationalities, I mean, like Serbs and Croats, they kind of kept it as their own kind of stamp, as identity question, you know. Bosniaks mostly gave their children names like Croats and Serbs do. Everything was in this kind of term to come to closer to them and really show that they embrace that philosophy of brotherhood, which was later really a very expensive thing to pay through the war in Bosnia. It showed that this was the only case in Bosniak people.
So you yourself, you pretty much were a man of no religion. Was there any Islam there at all?
Nothing really. Nobody cared about religion. Religion were kind of reserved to older people. What I remember from that time, I barely remember any adhan, that I've heard any adhan in that period. I used to live here for 30 years before I left this country in 89, and what I remember is that old people, like grandfathers, you know, they used to circle around mosque with this French black caps on their head, and it was like, you know, the religion was for old people, and if you were talking about these things, like, you know, okay, that's something which you kind of keep for later on when you get older, nothing for young people, nothing for, you know, that you should ponder about or think about it. No, it was nothing to talk about, really.
You even told me, it was interesting, there were mosques that were built during the time of the Ottoman rule, was that right? But what were they turned into?
Communists, they turned it into, if they had the need for a storage or like a stall, how do you say?
Horse stalls?
Horse stalls, different kind of things, or even just close it down, or even tear it down, or as there are many cases now, we rebuild those masjids from that time, because they were really doing everything they could to kind of turn down the enthusiasm and the religion in this people.
So now we talked a little bit about your family, atheist, communist, and yourself now. What kind of life, what were you at that moment in your life growing up? You were pretty much, just going along, you know, what was it, money, parties, girls? I mean, what were the kind of things that you were, you know, involved in before? And where was the turning point when you were like, finally came to a point that, you know, racking up money or wealth or all these things that you found out they didn't fill that void in your heart? Where's the turning point?
Yeah, you're quite right. That's exactly the way I was living my life. And when I turned 30, something happened with me that I just exactly like this. Just like I woke up one morning, I took two suitcases from the cupboard and put my clothes. My parents were like, "What's going on?" I just went on the train straight to Zagreb. From Zagreb, I took a bus and I went to Holland to visit a friend of mine who invited me a half a year earlier. And I stayed there for a few months, and after that, a lady I met the same year somewhere on the coast of Croatia phoned me. She was from Norway, invited me over there, so I went to Norway. After all, I married her, I got two kids, the war in Bosnia started, my mother was killed, my father came over there, and suddenly my life was really completely in chaos. I couldn't cope with the fact that I was living there and the war was here, and the relationship with my wife was not really good. So in 96 I divorced, and after that I decided to change my life completely, and I started to think of what can I do. So I said, okay, I'm going to study something. So I decided to study something like artistic, and so I went into being a graphic designer. After all, I went to England and was studying there for 2 years, and then in that journey, when I came over there, I met another world. I met lots of different kind of people, young people from different countries, and it wasn't easy for me to be there because I left two kids behind, and all those students were much younger than me, so it was very hard to be there. So one day I felt like depression, and I was laying in my room and just looking in the ceiling, and suddenly I don't know how it came out of me, like, "Allah help me." And I was like, "Wow, what did I say?" But it was like a button, you know, like was on, you know, something happened to me. Just a few days later, I met a Muslim guy from Manchester, Usman. He was Pakistani, and he asked me, first time somebody in my life asked me, "Are you Muslim?" I was like, "Yes." "Oh, good. We just going to a masjid to pray. Be with us. Let's go pray." So I was like, I can't. I don't know how. "No problem, man, just be with us." And so I was like walking with them, and then came over there, and it was my first time, first salah, without knowing anything, just like robot, you know. And then after that I was meeting these guys often, and we talk about it, and he came to my room and only Islam. And then suddenly, you know, things became much more clear for me, you know, like started reading and started to practice. And then after all, I got a practice, how to say this, you know, as a student, they have exchange from Holland. The students comes to England, and I get a chance to get a practice, my studies, my job as a graphic designer. It was a huge bureau, Proforma, in Rotterdam. So I went over there, and then it just kind of met other people, and a friend of mine came there from Paris, and he was already practicing Islam, and it just like avalanche, you know, it just took me, and I was just like, okay, I'm now in this kind of wave, okay, I'm coming, I'm there, and after all, I really felt like that's it. That's the kind of feeling I was really, really looking for. That's something I was searching earlier in my life. Because, you know, earlier I used to read some books, but it was like, okay, whatever I came to, it was like, all right, it can be like this, but it doesn't need to be like this. It can be like this, but it doesn't need to be like this. But when I came into Islam and started reading Quran and starting practicing, I said, this is really something like, you know, it is straightforward. It's just, you know, you talk to your creator. There's nothing like wishy-washy, like stories and, you know, like this and like that. And it was really something that I embraced it with my full heart. And after that, it just went one way, straight one way.
Now, before you started really coming back to Islam and practicing Islam, did you investigate and look at many of the other religions that were out there? And how did Islam stand out from the other religions that you started to look into and make a comparison with?
Oh yeah, I was reading Bible because the lady I was married with, the Norwegian lady, her father, when I came to Norway, the first thing I've got from him as a present was a book, and it stands on the book, a good news for a modern man. I didn't know what it was, so I thought it's just a book he gave me as a present. So I took a book, it was a blue book with this title, so I opened it, and it was a Bible. Okay, I said, since I got it from my father-in-law, I should read some of it. But then soon after that, I felt like, okay, it's not really what I feel like going into, because many of these things were kind of, I don't know, it was difficult for me to believe in these things somehow. And I was also reading some of, I guess it's really a known one. He was a known writer in these kind of terms, Deepak Chopra. I guess he's Indian, from India. He got he was writing those books about how to be successful and how to combine the spiritual life with material life. And so it was interesting, but also something was missing there. I was reading, I don't know, something about Zen and Buddhism and Hinduism in my earlier days. But also that was, you know, nothing really kind of that I could go to it and then explore more. Something was missing there. That's how I felt. But when I started reading books, Islamic books, there was, you know, the writer was not using his opinion or his, interpretation. And so the books I was reading was ayat from Quran and translation, and then hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sleep, and so on and so on. And that was combining those things and reading about the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and being into it, I discovered how these things happen. So it was really important that whoever starts exploring should read about history, about life of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then start from there.
Now, did you get an opportunity to go back to your parents who were atheists, and what was the result of that?
My mother was killed in this war in Bosnia and Herzegovina. She was just fetching some water from the kitchen, and a grenade exploded nearby, and she was killed. And when my father he came to Norway when I was living in the time, and I got the opportunity to talk to him. After all, one day my father came into the mosque. He was looking for me, and since he, as a child, he used to go to a maktab in the neighborhood where he was living, he remembered the Arabic words which was standing on the wall. So he came into the mosque, he was pointing with a finger, and he turned to me, he said to me, "Here stands La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah." I was crying. He pronounced it, you know.
By reading it.
By reading it, yeah. Because he remembered the meaning of it, because, you know, in that time when he was a kid, they had maktab, but then after all communism came and...
tried to erase all that.
Yeah. But then when he was reading it, I really felt like, oh, this is really a present from Allah to me, that I could listen my father pronounce this shahada. That's what I was having as a strong memory. My father died in Norway, and he became more and more religious. After all, not really, he was not practicing, but he used to pray on his way.
The communist system, atheist system, try to come in a race, you know, to take out of the hearts, you know, natural disposition to believe in God. But through all that, this is a testament. There's so many people who, even through that, they still came out and they professed their faith, and many who went away, they came back. And this is just one of those examples. And you're continuing also now some wonderful work. You didn't just stop there, where you ended up going into different religions. You had a gift from your father-in-law, the Bible. You looked at many world religions, and you talked about how Islam was straightforward. Many people, can you talk about this for a second? Many people, they like what we call this pure monotheism. You know, in Christianity, for instance, you have the worship of Jesus, you have the worship of Catholicism, saints, and all this. Do you have any of those strange superstitions or human worship or prophet worship in Islam?
No, there's nothing like that in Islam. Islam doesn't teach us anything like that. When we read Quran, then we can read really, really clear language, where the Creator, Allah, is saying that the worst sin you can do in this life is to join somebody beside Allah as a Creator. If you pray to somebody else, that's the worst sin you can do. So right now, before you came, we were doing this on the street, you know, this Dawah project, and two ladies, they Catholics, they came to me, and then we were talking about religion and what they believe in, and so they also confess that they believe in one God. But when I asked them about Jesus in their religion and Mary, how Jesus' mother, how they believe, they said, yeah, sometimes I pray to Mary, sometimes I pray to Jesus, but I believe there is only one God. So it was really kind of, you know, difficult for me to understand. So I said, listen, in that time when the Creator wanted to educate people about monotheism, and then the Creator was sending the prophets, Was it logical that Creator will confuse people more, because they were in confusion before, or would it be logical that Creator would send something that would be easier for them to understand the true belief? They say, yeah, of course it is logical that the Creator would send something more easier and more logical to people. So I said, isn't that what you say more complicated, more difficult, that you pray to one, and then this one is kind of being mediator, bringing your message further. Why don't you pray straight to the God? Yeah, I do it sometimes, she said. So we don't believe in those things that we should pray to somebody else, and it would be kind of you know, like a mediator for us. This person who died should bring a message further to Allah.
So you haven't stopped there. Now you're actually out there sharing the message of Islam, which is a responsibility for every Muslim, you know, to share, to help educate.
any of the people that are out there who get most of their education through the media, what's one of the top questions or people, you get a lot of communists because it's from a former, you know, communist country, people asking you questions, and can you share what some of those, what one of those questions that you get asked is?
The most common question is, it comes from, I would say, confusion and lack of knowledge. Mostly the people ask, how do you know that there is another life, a life after this? Nobody came back from this other life to tell us. And we can't believe this because we don't have any proof. That's the most common reaction when you start talking to people trying to give them a guideline for coming closer to a belief in one God.
And how do you answer that?
You see, I often tell them that they should ask themselves and ask their hearts what is in their heart. Not what they trying to kind of avoid by rational kind of thinking through what they see around them. This world is, as we know, kind of trap for anybody, because you get trapped in this world and you believe that's the only thing that you are related to. So I said, ask your heart. Do you have love in your heart? For somebody, for your mother, for your kids, how can you describe this love? Is there anything you can touch, you can see? You have dreams. Sometimes you get dreams that you kind of can be scared of. Sometimes those dreams can be really full of hope and love. What about these dreams? Where they come from? Where this everything comes from? It must be somebody who has created it. Must be somebody who has a concept for us. Otherwise, this life would be so poor, so sad, so depressive. If we had only this and nothing else, well, how about justice? How about all those who criminals? How about all those who are causing such pain in the world? What about them? Are they just gonna be like that? Nothing with them? No justice for those who have lost their homes, refugees, millions of those people who have been tortured, and so nothing like that. So they don't have really answers. Many of them, they say, if there was a God, he wouldn't allow people doing those things. So I said, of course he doesn't allow, but the Creator has given all the human being a free will, so they can do whatever they want. That's the challenge. That's the choice you have to make. Are you getting into a realm of being good or bad? That's the choice.
So now, Haris, tell us, for people who are visiting Mostar like I am, and let's say they want to learn more about Islam, you guys have a Dawah booth out here that you go ahead and you disseminate the correct information, you know, because there's obviously a lot of misconceptions, and that's a responsibility we have, is to share this message. How can people hook up with you guys? And if people want to support you guys, you know, support your Dawah Center, how can people do that?
Well, we have both a website, we have also printed material, we can announce it somewhere, as we do, but people mostly should participate in, let's say, watching the lectures, which are on YouTube and on our website, and through this they can be acquainted with the work we do, and also there are information displayed over there, so they can contribute if they feel for it. We are in need. Let's say lately we should be actually doing some projects, but because of financial shortage we were not able to do those things. As people know, the country is still under kind of repairing the damages from the war, and the system is not really doing that well. But we are trying to do as good as we can on a small scale. But we are hoping, with Allah's help, that we are gonna grow stronger and bigger. So that's the way. That's the way.
All right, and you guys are, I heard, making wells in Africa. You're feeding the poor people in the community, really giving back. I mean, along with sharing the message, you're also doing humanitarian work, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We are trying to be both, let's say, a helping hand to those in need through the work as we do in our, how to say, the place we rent now. Both pupils can come over there and get lectures for free in physics and mathematics. We are also having courses in different languages, the course in Tajweed, and so all this stuff which is connected to Dawah and to work with, for Islam. And in the same time, we are collecting funds from those who would probably, from other places, from diaspora, from other countries where Bosniaks live, help through us, the poor, so that we are receiving from them funds so we can distribute further in the community.
Hadis, I want to thank you. Thank you for sharing your story so our audience and everyone tuning in can benefit, because there's a lot of people who were born into a communist, atheist family, and now they get inspired and they can move forward and really seek to know, who created me, why am I here, what's my purpose, and this might be a great start for them and for others who tune in to watch your story. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Jazakallah khair. And thank you guys. Continue to tune in. We're here in our beautiful journey in Bosnia. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.